Yesterday marked the 9th anniversary of the murder of UNC student Faith Hitchpeth, a crime that remains unsolved nearly a decade later. Authorities are offering a $40,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. If you have information, Chapel Hill Police want to hear from you. You can contact them directly. You can call 911. You can also leave tips anonymously with Crime Stoppers at 919-942-7515. The lead investigator on the case issued a brief statement this week, saying police are working tirelessly to follow leads and are committed to solving this case, direct quotes. Meanwhile, campus police continue to investigate the reported suicide of a UNC student at the Forest Theater over the weekend. There's now a GoFundMe page up to pay for funeral expenses there. Turning now to mixed news in the fight against COVID-19. First, the good news, a slight dip in COVID hospitalizations over the Labor Day weekend. Now back down under 3,800 in North Carolina, still an extremely high number. On campus, COVID numbers have been heading mostly in the right direction. UNC reports 29 students living in isolation and 5 in quarantine as of Monday. That's down from 85 in isolation and 13 in quarantine on the last day of August. ABC 11 reports UNC has also added more canopies for students to sit outdoors while eating. Students had been calling for that since the semester began. The bad news is that COVID is on the rise in K-12 schools. State health officials are reporting 125 clusters of COVID cases in schools and another 36 involving childcare facilities, and that's up more than 70% from the week before. One of those clusters is in Orange County, 6 cases at Central Elementary School in Hillsboro. Reminder that a cluster is 5 or more cases in the same place. Cases are higher in districts that still don't have mask mandates, like Union County, where 1 in 8 students in the district were under quarantine at the end of last week, compared with about 1 in 100 in Wake County. With cases on the rise, some events are being canceled, including a 9/11 memorial ceremony that was set to take place Saturday at the Chatham County Justice Center in Pittsboro. Now back to campus, where UNC researchers are actively working to develop better treatments for those who come down with the virus. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras has the latest on that.
Dr. David Wohl is a professor of medicine and top infectious disease expert at UNC. He said there's a lot of work being done in North Carolina, both at Duke and UNC, to try to find therapies that are even more convenient than what is currently on the market.
Because right now, if you get COVID-19, and you're at a little bit higher risk for severe disease, we can give you therapy, but it's an IV. You got to get hooked up to an intravenous line. It's got to get infused inside your body over 30 minutes to 60 minutes one time, so that's not too bad. But, you know, that's not something that everyone can readily do or that there's incredible capacity for.
What Wohl just described is monoclonal antibody treatment. While antibodies are naturally made by your body to help fight disease, monoclonal antibodies are made in a laboratory to help your body attack invaders like viruses and keep them from entering your cells. These lab-made antibodies are used to restore, enhance, or mimic the immune system. Wohl said healthcare systems across the state, including UNC Health, have infusion centers to treat those eligible for monoclonal antibody therapy.
And qualification just based upon your risk. If you're very, very young and healthy, you're not going to be at really significant risk for getting severe COVID. But if you're older or you're heavier or you have some underlying conditions that qualify you, which when you look at the list of things, about 75% of Americans would fit the qualifications, you can get this treatment.
Outside of monoclonal antibody treatments, Wohl said UNC is part of a federally funded study that is working to create more accessible over-the-counter prescriptions to treat COVID. This clinical study, dubbed Rise Above COVID, is a global movement to find medicines for COVID-19 through the Active 2 study, which tests different investigational medicines to see if they can help adults with COVID-19 recover more quickly.
So this is a huge effort to find really good medicines that can treat COVID early and prevent people from getting sick and hospitalized. What we need are easier things, like taking a pill. And so we're working on that, as are others, and I think that's going to make a big, big difference.
Medicines administered in the Active 2 study come in all different forms. Pills taken by mouth, a shot or injection, an intravenous infusion, and oral medicine from an inhaler. Wohl said those who have tested positive for COVID-19 in the last 10 days are eligible to participate.
Clinical studies are what gets us everything that we use for treatment. That's how we got our vaccines for COVID. That's how we get our medicines to treat dangerous infections in the hospital. That's how we got medicines for HIV.
Learn more about the study and investigational therapies currently being developed at riseabovecovid.org. Additionally, find out if you are eligible for monoclonal antibody therapy at unchealthcare.org. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
In state news, North Carolina lawmakers are going outside Raleigh beginning this week to hear from residents about how legislative district lines should be drawn for the next 10 years. Redistricting process underway now. The House and Senate have scheduled over a dozen public hearings this month. The first is tonight in Caldwell County. Back locally, a new arts festival is coming to Orange County next summer. The Beacon will be a biennial month-long countywide festival with events in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. And it all launches next year in mid-July. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach with more.
The Beacon aims to become a major art festival destination and generate spending at local restaurants, shops, and other services in the county from visitors participating in the festival. Katie Murray is the Orange County Arts Commission Director. She recently presented plans for the Beacon at the Orange County Board of Commissioners meeting. Murray said the festival has three goals: showcase large art in addition to financially supporting artists, support the downtown community which struggles in the summer months, and provide a free and accessible festival for all people in the community.
I, of course, tend to think that the arts can solve almost every problem, so I have been thinking for a long time about what event can we create that really will put Orange County on the map, pull us kind of outside of the shadow, at least creatively, that we seem to kind of fall under in terms of being in the triangle with Durham and Raleigh, and something that could become a new signature event for our community.
Murray said there are 14 community partners involved in the festival, including the Orange County Arts Commission, all three towns, the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, and the Orange County Economic Development. The festival is focused on three-dimensional art like sculptures, installation art, and projection art. Murray said there will be a national call for artists who will be juried by a panel of experts. Those accepted will be given a stipend for travel expenses and installation costs. Outdoor locations will be matched with artists. During the festival, the public can vote on their favorite art pieces through an online portal. At the conclusion of the festival, cash prizes will be given to the jury's vote winners, as well as the winner of the public vote. Murray said the Beacon is modeled after Art Prize, a biennial festival in Grand Rapids which brings in 500,000 attendees and an estimated economic impact of $33 million.
This is obviously a goal, but I think that, you know, if we can start off our first year on the right foot, I can see this event eventually having the same impact as Art Prize.
Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price, said she believes the festival will not only have a creative impact for the county, but a financial one as well.
It will have a rippling effect, and I think it'll bring money, it'll bring happiness and joy, which we're going to need after this pandemic, and it also to bring communities together. And we've talked about how are we going to bring the different segments of our community to participate, because a lot of times there are events that happen in the county and it seems to only serve certain populations, but this we're going to try to bring everyone together. So looking very, very good.
The budget for the festival is set to be finalized by November, and the call for artists will begin in December. The festival kicks off July 15th and will run through August 15th, 2022. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Speaking of exciting arts events, there's one that's launching tomorrow night right here at University Place, the Trax Music Series. Four free outdoor concerts with Triangle area musicians and bands hosted by the town of Chapel Hill every Thursday night from 6 to 8 for the rest of September. I'll be emceeing this series, and all four concerts will feature bands that we spotlight during our live and local hour here on 97.9 The Hill. Susan Brown is the director of Chapel Hill's Community Arts and Culture Department. She talked about the series recently with our own Brighton McConnell.
The plan is to do it right here at University Place in the parking lot, set up a real outdoor kind of festival feel. And we'll do it over four Thursdays in September with two bands each from tracks and sort of themed nights, kind of genre nights. So we'll have a jazz night, we'll have a bluegrass night, we'll have a hip hop night. It's going to be super fun. So yeah. Again, focused on music, a different place in town, diverse, more frequent, smaller scale.
And expanding an already existing project, too. We love doing Tracks Tuesdays here on the air and having those bands and the Tracks Music Library has turned into something really incredible and such a great resource for local musicians to showcase their work. Now they'll be able to do it in person for people, which is awesome.
And it's also going to drive really good outcomes for the businesses here because people can get a dinner to go, take it over to a picnic table, hear some bands, have a great time.
That's Susan Brown speaking there. Get more info about the series online at chapelhillarts.org. Tomorrow's show, again, 6 to 8 p.m., will feature folk and bluegrass from Hard Drive and Honey Magpie. It's 6:23. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Wegmans. UNC football is officially out of the top 10, no surprise, after dropping their season opener at Virginia Tech. The Tar Heels fell from number 10 to number 24 in this week's AP poll and from number 9 to number 22 in the coaches poll. Alabama still number 1 in the AP. Clemson also down 4 spots to number 6 after their loss to Georgia. And Virginia Tech, by virtue of their win, entered the top 25. They're at number 19 now. Carolina's back in action this Saturday, hosting Georgia State in their home opener. Speaking of polls, UNC field hockey is also down from number 1 to number 4 in this week's coaches poll. They did have a good weekend this past weekend, but they also dropped their first two games of the season. They did have a good weekend a couple of days ago, though, and senior forward Aaron Mattson has been named ACC Offensive Player of the Week. She had 4 goals in 1 game against Penn. UNC men's soccer is up 2 spots to number 4 in their coaches poll after scoring 2 wins over the weekend. UNC women's soccer is unchanged at number 2. And one other Tar Heel earned individual honors this week. Sophomore Sasha Neglia is your ACC Women's Cross Country Co-Performer of the Week after she took first at a meet in Charlotte over the weekend. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls fell to Norfolk last night 3-1 in their first game back at home in 2 weeks. Bulls are back in action tonight, hosting the Tides at 6:35.